As pandemic restrictions ease in many Western countries, should oil-producing nations pump more crude supply into the market? Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. That is the big question facing the OPEC Plus group of countries today. They're in their third day of crucial talks to decide where 2022 production levels should be set. The United Arab Emirates is standing firm against a proposal from Russia and Saudi Arabia that would allow the group to ramp up production starting in August by 2 million barrels a day, but then extend remaining curbs until the end of next year. The existing agreement on current production levels is due to expire in April. More production could allow prices to come down from 2.5-year highs while also allowing producing nations to bring in more revenue. The BBC's Samir Hashmi explains whether there's ground then for compromise.
Well, Victoria, at this stage, it's very difficult to say what's going to happen, because when the meeting happened for the first time on Thursday, it seemed like a done deal and all the 23 members of the OPEC Plus were going to agree to the deal, which was that they would ramp up or increase production from August to December. And then the production agreement, which means how much oil each country will be pumping out, that was decided in April 2020 after the outbreak of the coronavirus. That contract was supposed to end next year in April 2022. However, Saudi Arabia and Russia, who are the leaders of OPEC Plus, proposed that that contract should be extended until the end of next year, which means countries will continue pumping the same amount of oil. Now, that is where this whole issue started, because the UAE is against extending that contract without making production adjustments. So there have been back-channel talks happening, but there is still no clarity whether there will be a deal or not, which is not good news for oil markets.
Could the countries involved just say, you know what, forget it to a broad agreement, we're just going to start putting more oil on the market if we want to?
That's the worry right now in the oil market. Having disagreements within the group is not uncommon, but this time, what's shocking is that the UAE and Saudi Arabia have been very close allies for a very long time. UAE is the second largest producer of oil in the Gulf region after Saudi Arabia. So given that they've taken a public stance, which pits them directly against Saudi Arabia, is what has really surprised the markets. And that's why there's a concern that if this issue is not resolved and countries go their own way in terms of pumping out oil, that could again have a significant impact on oil prices. For now, oil prices are climbing, but then they could fall also dramatically.
The BBC's Samir Hashmi keeping an eye on all things OPEC for us from Dubai. Thanks so much for your time.
Thank you so much, Victoria.
Well, oil prices are just slightly higher as that OPEC Plus meeting gets underway today. Checking some other numbers now, stocks in Asia ended lower, while European benchmarks have mostly reversed early losses on data showing business activity expanded at the fastest clip in 15 years. A cyber criminal gang thought to be behind a global ransomware attack affecting hundreds of businesses is demanding $70 million in cryptocurrency. The Russia-linked Revil Group says in exchange for the payment, it'll unlock all computer systems it's blocking. The BBC's Joe Tidy has more on that story.
The knock-on effects of this cyber attack on U.S. company Kaseya are being felt around the world. Roughly 500 supermarkets had to close in Sweden, 11 schools in New Zealand have been hit, and hundreds, potentially thousands of companies are offline assessing the damage. The troubling thing about this hack is that it's a so-called supply chain attack. By going after one large software provider, the cybercriminals have the potential to infect all their customers, and in some cases, their customers' customers. At Co-op Sweden, their tills were taken offline because one of their IT providers uses Kaseya. Cyber authorities around the world, including in the US, are urging users of Kaseya to shut down their computers if they haven't already. I'm the BBC's Joe Tidy for Marketplace.
To China now, where the government's crackdown on big tech is gaining momentum. Regulators say they're looking into potential data security risks and have now launched an investigation into two local companies that recently listed their shares on the US stock market. The BBC's Michael Bristow reports.
One firm under investigation runs two truck hailing apps. The other is an online recruiter. All three platforms have been told to stop registering new users. On Friday, the Chinese authorities launched another investigation into the internet taxi firm Didi, just days after it listed on the New York Stock Exchange. These firms, with tens of millions of users, collect enormous amounts of personal data. The Chinese government is worried it could leak abroad and become a national security risk. It also wants the right to control this data, not give that power to private companies.
That's Michael Bristow reporting there. Well, as he said, ride-hailing giant Didi Chuxing is also caught in regulators' crosshairs. The company's shares began trading on the New York Stock Exchange last week. Then this weekend, it was removed from Chinese app stores after regulators accused it of violating data collection rules. Well, in recent months, authorities have taken an increasingly hard line on technology companies and online financial institutions. The BBC's Ed Butler explains what that means for the future of China's tech industry.
Jack Ma is China's richest man, the charismatic and witty boss of Alibaba, a huge Chinese conglomerate that started as the country's answer to Amazon, but has since expanded into an array of financial services. This is him speaking at a public event back in 2015.
So how would you characterize your relationship with the government right now?
In love with them, but don't marry them, mm-hmm. you know?
Well, that relationship has since soured. Mr. Ma vanished for a couple of weeks last year. He's subsequently been very quiet. Richard McGregor of the Lowy Institute in Sydney explains the background.
He called Chinese banks, which are all state-owned banks, by the way. He said they were like pawn shops. He basically said that the regulators were pretty useless and needed to catch up with companies like his. And it was sort of an insult too far.
Well, Alibaba's financial services affiliate Ant Group was due to list on the stock market, but that has now been delayed, despite its success as a key provider of payment services in China and having moved into insurance, short-term credit and other areas. According to the China tech analyst and host of the Tech Buzz China podcast, Ray Ma, that's made it inevitably the target of China's competition regulators.
All of the credit tech businesses are now going to be regulated by the banking system. It is about putting in more safeguards as to controlling this risk.
A fairly benign view there of what's going on, but others see Alibaba as being targeted. It recently faced a $2.8 billion fine for antitrust violations. Some point to Jack Ma's refusal to share the company's vast amounts of personal data with the government and the potential threat that poses to President Xi's authority as being the real reason that the company's faced closer scrutiny. Professor Ishwal Prasad is a senior fellow at the Brookings Institution.
The central bank have been trying to make the case that, in fact, they would be more careful using that data than the private providers. But certainly one could take a different view that having all this data would greatly strengthen the ability of the state to surveil its citizens.
In the meantime, it remains to be seen whether recent developments are going to curtail the spirit of enterprise in the country, which has brought such success over recent years. I'm the BBC's Ed Butler for Marketplace.
Well, finally, fresh BBC research today suggests at least 2,000 UK businesses have moved to Europe since the 2016 Brexit referendum. We've zoomed in on the critical financial services industry to find out how it's getting on. All that coverage is at marketplace.org under the London Unbound tab. In London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.